First of all, I would like to thank Rashmi Desai and the Civics Department for inviting me to Toronto at just the right time to join this very happy event. And secondly, I want to thank the organizers for squeezing me in at the last minute. So let me begin by saying happy birthday to both of you. And I have a distinct disadvantage compared to all the speakers that have gone before me in that I have collaborated with neither Ray nor Stu. And in fact, I met Ray 15 years ago. We just worked out. And I met Stu, in fact, only 15 months ago. So that's why I have to apologize that I couldn't have any decent pictures of you two. And I just, you know, scrounged around around in the web, and the only ones I could find are these ones that was from the website to begin with. And so I have to apologize for not only plagiarism, for the fact that these things are very poor quality. So I thought, well, maybe I could go and find some others on the web. And I typed in Whittington into Google and typed images, and up popped 40,000 images. Obviously, I couldn't do very much about that. But they were mainly these stone castles, which obviously does not reflect the warm qualities of stew. And then there's this other very famous Whittington, which appear everywhere, is this sleazy friend of Cheney. Does any of you remember he got shot by Cheney? So I didn't think that was very appropriate either to show here. So I chased around some more, and finally I found somebody who is stern and serious and not just a sleazy politician. And here it is. And obviously he seemed like some kind of scholar, but it's not fantastically, you know, maybe it's a relative of yours, Stu, you have to find out. So I try to do the same thing for Ray, and there are similar sort of problems occur. But there's obviously a fellow who has the sort of brains that Ray has, and that's about the best I could find of pictures. So I'm hoping that I would come up with, get some nice pictures of you two after today's event, so that in 5 years' time we'll have nicer pictures. But in the meantime, we'll have to put up with these. So with that, let me go on and say that, well, I see that the title of this thing is Mathematical Chemistry. Well, I'm not a mathematician, because mathematicians have a sharp mind. I'm just a poor theoretical physicist, and we use fuzzy logic, as all of you know. And I'm not a chemist either, because a chemist needs to have some courageous heart, because after all, how do you know not to pour sulfuric acid into, say, sodium hydroxide? And if you didn't know and you want to try it out anyway, you may be in trouble. I deal with much simpler things, and that doesn't get me into the sort of trouble that normally get into. So despite the fact that I'm neither a mathematician nor a chemist, luckily there is the title of the conference, and I said, oh, that's something I recognize. I do work with random walks and on lattices and so on, and maybe I can contribute something to this conference. So here is the outline of my talk. Given that introduction, I give you some motivations as to why I'm looking at this problem, what the model and what the problem is, and some of the results and some outlook. And let me just thank my collaborators at Virginia Tech, and also the people who keep us alive. So the motivation is permeation gas molecules through thin polymeric membranes. Still having trouble with English after all these years. And if you want to know what that problem is, it's when does your fridge smell like garlic if you wrap it in saran wrap? And how long would it take? And so on and so forth. But a more serious level is that there are a couple of chemical engineers at Virginia Tech who were funded by one of these chemical companies to try to, you know, answer this problem more seriously. And they analyze, in particular, the effects of this gas transport due to various things, how you prepare the membrane to begin with, and what the effects of aging on it, and what the effect of stretching, which is called orientation, on these things. And I'm not going to go into the details of this, of course, since I have 5 minutes left. but any of you want to interest in this could go into the thesis of Christina, and it's nicely listed. One of the things that got us interested in is because they approached us and said, as we notice the membrane age, they decided that the free volume goes up with time, but that the current going through the membrane goes down. And to them, this was quite incomprehensible. I don't know anything about polymer physics, so I decided to learn something about it, and that's how we got involved. So the other motivation is purely mathematics. It's a percolation problem in two dimensions. And as you know, percolation on square lattice, whether it be side or bond, is extremely well known. Now, in this case, I'm going to focus on bonds, and the question is, what happens if you put these bonds to be correlated? Not the simple way of correlation that you say, well, you know, one bond is correlated to the next one by some power law or what have you, but a very well-motivated correlation. So the motivation is this model for the gas transport problem that I was talking about. And like good physicists, we don't dare to go to 3D, so we start with two dimensions, and here's where talking about trajectories on a square lattice come into play. So imagine that this is a two-dimensional, well, the three-dimensional version of the film would be this way, the garlic would be over here, the rest of the fridge would be over there, but here's your film, and the polymers are modeled by just a random walk, and the gas molecules are modeled by these particles that hop from site to site, and on this side, in the simulations, we just put all of these sites to be full of particles, and over there we just empty them out, and we ask, how does it go across? And of course, it does random walk. However, when it is trying to jump over some polymers, then the hopping volatility is modeled by activation, and would depend on how many monomers that happen to be lying over here. So this would give then a problem of how does the current behave as a function of temperature, that's this activation, and the distribution of these polymers, and so on and so forth. So is that clear what the model is? It's a very, very simple model. So I come back to this percolation problem about the correlated bonds. Let's look at an extremely simple problem of the dual problem, in the sense that I'm not asking how the gas molecules get through or not. Instead, I'm asking how the polymers, how they span the system. Because at t equal to zero, the particles cannot cross any bond whatsoever, and therefore the occupied bonds span the system, there would be no particle current. So this is a very simplified version of the whole problem. So in that sense, it's a percolation of these correlated bonds, because when you take the monomers and tie them into elmers, they establish some kind of correlation. Is that okay? So percolation problem in two dimensions, P is the density of occupied bonds, and Pc is 1/2, is well known. The density of randomly placed monomers, I'm not just putting down bonds that I have, but I'm putting down monomers, so there could be multiple occupation, and this density is a good thing because experimentalists measure just the mass density, and these two guys are not equal because of the multiple occupancy. However, you can easily work it out. For monomers, it's just 1 over the area of the system or volume in three dimensions raised to the number of monomers, and that's of course the density times area. And if you take the limit, you would get that relation. So that's all very simple. Question is that instead of having monomers, if you pull these monomers to join into elmers, what happens? What happens to a Pivot relationship if these things are just simple random walks? Obviously, if we make them non-simple random walks, this becomes very difficult. And in that sense, we're talking about what is the these occupied bonds are correlated. And then now you can ask, what are the questions? What is PC and ρC? So now I just come to the results. And there are analytic ones and simulation ones. The P-rho relationship is fairly easy to generalize. And what happens is that instead of an exponential of minus rho, there is a coefficient that depends on L. I'm sure that the sharp minds immediately recognize what this object is. This is nothing but the support of a Elmer divided by L. Okay? So the probability of spanning by a single random walker, in other words, if you take all the polymers and link them into a single random walk, then of course there are no singularities whatsoever, and the probability of percolation is just a smooth function of rho, and there's no percolation. By percolation, I mean probability of spanning. as a function of rho is just very simple. That's easy to come by. Probability of multiple occupation, which would be useful for a finite temperature, which I'm not going to talk about at all, is that it can be generalized and so on. So these are the things that are known, and as you can see, it's very, very far from what we can actually, what we really like to do. So things that we can do is to do simulations, and the question is, when does the system percolate if you have these Elmers in there? And you can talk about P and rho in, together, and just to remind you, the relationship is just this very simple relationship, and A is known. So here's the result for the simulations. This is the polymer length all the way up to 256, and the system size that we have used is all the way up to 1,000 by 1,000. And you notice that PC goes down monotonically, but rho C has a kink. And instead, we don't really understand why, because this fellow here is perfectly boring and monotonic and so on. So that's the only, this is the only thing that relates these two graphs. Okay? They're not independent results. Now, once you have this kind of kink, you can have reentrant behavior as a function of L if you decide to fix the density. So take this graph again. Suppose you choose this density and you increase L through in this fashion. Then if you take monomers, L equal to 1, there are enough monomers for the system to percolate because you're above the threshold. However, if you go to 2 or 16, suddenly it doesn't percolate anymore. But if you go beyond 16, 17 and on, there is, again, enough for the system to percolate. This, let me remind you, fixed rows means that I have the same number of monomers everywhere. I just tie them up into these Elmers, okay? We don't really understand what it is. We wave our hands and we say, oh, they get tied together, they are less, you know, there's less ability for them to get through and so on and so forth. And this is what I call postdiction, because once you see what the phenomenon is, you can always wave your hands. That's what I mean by words without understanding. The other simulation result is that if we actually look for the critical behavior, then for fixed L, then the critical behavior is indeed in the same universality graph. That's hardly surprising. But the crossover, if you take L and the size of the system to infinity in a particular way, would be highly non-trivial. So I just finished with some outlook. What is the relationship between this problem and population of random ellipses? A long time ago, there's a paper which is very nicely written one. You basically take a metal sheet and you can put a current through it, and now you start punching holes in it. And if these holes are ellipses, then how many holes do you have to punch before there will be no current anymore? So the relationship between random walks and ellipses would be interesting to look at, but that's also just a way of doing something else. Now, of course, there are many, many fancy random walks that we have talked about, that you've heard all this morning. I'm not going to, that's one thing that one can do. Finite temperature is highly non-trivial because now you have serious problems of diffusion, steady state currents, generalization, three dimensions, both the massive question of how do you define this kind of lattice. And then comes the real problem, is what happens when the polymer dynamics, namely aging, is added to the system. How to introduce different cooling rates and how to model them. So there's quite a lot of problems floating around out there. And let me go back to sharp minds and courageous hearts. They're sorely needed in this case in order to make progress. And I would be very happy if anybody wants to join in this game. And especially happy if I can convince these two guys to join me. Thank you very much.